What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we are talking about looking for repentance in others today. If you were here last episode, I introduced the idea of what repentance really means biblically. There is a change of mind. And in that change of mind, you're seeing a change of behavior that overflows from an inner person change. You know, so practically speaking, that when we say we repent of something, then we have a change of mind about that thing, which leads to a change of action. So no action change, no mind and heart change. So practically, that's the basis. That's last week's episode. Today, how do you look for that in others without being overly critical or without being naive? I want to just ask the question, how do you assess that? You know people in your life that are easily manipulated. They are maybe a bit naive about the intentions of others. So what happens is they get taken advantage of over and over and over because they lack the discernment to say, you know, I don't really know if you are repentant, and I'm going to put some structures around our relationship to ensure you are, and that I'm not being manipulated, coerced, whatever that is. You can be too compassionate and lack discernment. You can believe the best to a point of ignoring the facts and be naive. And in your naivete, what's happening is you are unable to see the truth of the circumstance. So you're overly positive and overly generous about a circumstance. And if that's you, or you know that people have said that about you, then just realize you don't have a corner on the market of knowledge. Like, you don't see something that no one else sees. If multiple people are telling you that you are naive or you're not considering the facts, then that is most likely true. I want you to grab your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 7, what you're going to see is Jesus gives indicators for knowing who false prophets are. Whenever you look at Matthew 7, this is in the context of a false prophet, false teacher. He says, verse 15, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits." Look at their conduct, look at their actions, and you will be able to tell if they're a false prophet or not. At the end of James 3, verse 13 through 17, look at their conduct, their way of life. Is it divisive, anarchy, chaos? And if it is, you know that is wisdom from below and not wisdom from above. What does this mean, and what does this have to do with repentance? The fruit that a person is producing reveals what's going on in their heart, or a lack of something taking place in their heart. For the false prophet, you can look at their actions and see that something doesn't match here. For the person that is, they're struggling, maybe they want to be repentant, but yet they're not there yet. They may cry, they may say all the right things, they may even know the Christian lingo, "Will you forgive me? I'm so sorry, I'll never do it again." And yet if your actions don't change, then what that tells us is that you're not repentant. So, funny story, on Saturdays, I try to spend time with family. You know, we'll often have a ministry engagement or something, but usually the mornings are time for us to just go kick it and chill. We do a lot of horseplay in my house, jacking around. I think that's part of having three boys. So we were at a park, we walked to a coffee shop, and we were at a park, and we got on a teeter-totter, if you know what those are. So I'm on one side, my two older sons are on the other side, and cumulatively, I think they now weigh more than me. So we're messing around, and on the teeter-totter, you know, I would kind of bounce And then they would go down, and then they now springboard off the ground, and then I go down. You've seen a fulcrum, like teeter-totter thing. They like collaborated against my lower back. So they springboard when they get to the bottom, and then I like jam my tailbone into the ground as it rockets to the floor. And I was like, I hate everything in life. I like roll off, curl up in a ball and start crying. You know, I want you to think of a teeter-totter and a balance here, this fulcrum. Some of us, we are hypercritical individuals, and you will never be repentant in our assessment. You could never demonstrate it. We're never open to assessing that. That is one extreme. And that extreme is a violation of 1 Corinthians 13:7, which is love believes all things. Love believes all things. It means that you're not naive, but rather you're open to seeing a person change. Love believes all things. If you're a hypercritical person, usually that comes from a place of hurt. You've been sinned against in the past, and that is why you have a temptation to be overly protective and somewhat negative in your evaluation of people. People are starting from a glass half empty with you. They have to prove themselves to be trustworthy first. Why is that? Because typically you've experienced the worst in humanity. Just watch it. You've seen the worst, so you're skeptical and you're maybe tempted to be overly skeptical, which is critical. You've been surrounded by evil people, and you know what people are capable of doing. So that's how you think, like, I'm overly guarded. Because that's an extreme, and it is an unbiblical extreme. But I also want you to think of another extreme where you lack discernment. If you have a scripture, you're not driving, something whack. If you're not multitasking, grab your Bible, go over to Proverbs 22. I want you to look at Proverbs 22 with me. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man sees evil and hides, but the simple pass on and are punished. The prudent sees evil or danger, hides themselves, but a simple person, they just continue along and then they face the consequences of lacking that prudence. What does that mean? That some people are the other extreme of assessing repentance, that they are naive and they lack discernment. You lack discernment, so you're overly charitable in your assessment of people, and then you're missing and glossing over blatant facts and concerns. Everyone else is saying this, but you're refusing to acknowledge the facts. That is not a skill that you have. That is a weakness and a liability. It just sounds like a great way to be in really awful friendships. I don't like the term toxic, but you know what I'm talking about when people say toxic. It just sounds like a great way to be in an awful friendship and an awful dating relationship and an awful marriage if you're overly charitable in your assessment of people. Because what's going to happen is you don't have the wherewithal to say, this person is not genuinely repentant. They're not changing. Let's put it another way. You lack discernment, so you will be easily manipulated and taken advantage of in relationships. It stinks to say that. Like, if you don't have a mechanism to look for repentance and be discerning, then you will be taken advantage of. I wish life weren't like that. Like, don't you wish we were just surrounded by awesome people that were always going to protect us and look out for our best interest? That's not the case. So in that balance, this teeter-totter, just think on one side, I'm hypercritical, everybody's lying until I now found the truth. Like, that's one error. And the other error is I'm overly naive. I lack discernment in assessing repentance. So what is the answer? The biblical response is not to write everybody off. The biblical response is not to believe everything ever said by anyone. It's to train your discernment. Have you ever thought about the fact that discernment, this capacity, or more like the ability, not a capacity, think of like your ability to discern between right and wrong, is something that you grow in? You may say, like, there's a young person that's very discerning, maybe wise beyond their years is what you would say. I feel that way about a lot of my undergraduate students here at Masters. Just young people have a good head on their shoulders, very mature, sound. But think of discernment as something that you work to improve. Hebrews chapter 5, talking about these rituals that people were following through, thinking they contributed to salvation. This is what the author of Hebrews says in verse 14. Solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. You have your senses trained. You've practiced discernment, discernment between right and wrong, good and evil. You have to grow the muscle of discernment. You have to exercise it in order for it to be strong, right? Well, you may not be a nutritional expert. I'm not a nutritional expert. I had strawberry milk this morning. When we look at, and it was good, when we look at this muscle of discernment, we're saying, look, the only way for it to grow is to exercise it. Now, if you are a person that is overly critical or naive, the antidote to that is to grow in your discernment, your ability to assess if a person is doing the right thing or wrong thing, or a circumstance that is right or a circumstance that is wrong. Part of that assessment is going to now affect the way that you view repentance and you're assessing repentance in someone else. So how do you grow this muscle? Let me tell you this and then we'll take a short break. How do you grow this muscle? You train your discernment with the Word of God. So let me take a short break. When we come back, I'll pick up with that thought of training your discernment. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Dr. Gifford. And you know, this whole conversation that Greg's having about discernment and repentance, it's kind of hitting at the heart of something that we all struggle with, the balance between being too critical and being too naive. Speaking of biblical discernment, I cannot think of a better resource to recommend for you to walk through than one that is helping thousands of Christians develop that muscle of discernment that Greg mentioned. It's called Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. They unpack how failing to discern truth from error is actually harming our spiritual growth. It's Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. You can pick it up at fortisinstitute.org. And by the way, did you know that Dr. Gifford here serves as an assistant professor of biblical counseling at the Masters University? He's a pretty big deal. He really is. TMU just ranked number 6 nationwide for career preparation, according to the Wall Street Journal, which speaks to the quality of education that students are receiving. If you're looking for a university that stands uncompromisingly on the sufficiency, inerrancy, and authority of Scripture while preparing students professionally, there's no better place than the Masters University. You can find out more right now at masters.edu/transformed. Speaking of being transformed, have you downloaded the Fortis Plus app yet? Completely free. It gives you access to hundreds of hours of biblical content like what you're hearing right now. Content that will transform your life. 7 new pieces of audio and video content are posted every day to help develop this biblical discernment that Greg's been talking about. You're going to get daily insights from our fellows on pressing issues, plus our news feature with yours truly will help you process current events through a biblical lens. Just search Fortis Plus in your app store or go to fortisplus.org right now. You know, I've been thinking a lot about what Greg is saying about that balance, how some people can be overly critical, not me, but some people, and others lack discernment entirely. And it just reminds me that we're living in a time where this kind of biblical wisdom is not just helpful, it's essential for spiritual survival. And that's why your partnership with us here at Fortis Institute matters so much. Would you consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Now, if you're currently focused on getting out of debt or faithfully supporting your local church, stay there. Continue to keep those commitments as your priority. But if you're able to partner with us, your support will help us equip more believers with biblical discernment needed for today's challenges. Find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Gifford as he continues showing us how to train our discernment muscles. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy, for all of your resources. He's a busy man. For those of you that have been listening to Thrive or The Way of Manhood or Integrated, Jimmy is everywhere now. So I'm thankful for his just capacities and giftedness. I also want to continue to plug Lies My Therapist Told Me. As you know, this has been really a 2-year project in the making. And at Fortis, we have collaborated, really Todd and I, for about 1.5 years now on how to best help you think about this mental health hijacking of the Bible. Last episode, I said, look, you're diagnosing our kids with arbitrary illnesses, and now their whole self-conception is being tainted by arbitrary mental illnesses. Today, I would just say, look, in this book, I'm going to help show you how we are being medicated for non-medical issues. Psychotropics are couched in this medical terminology, but there is no evidence that there is a pathological reason for why you are experiencing the malady or this thing that you're experiencing. We have to quit medicating people for non-medical issues. Guys, like, let's wake up. The mental health, the secular therapeutic culture is medicating us, making money off the medications, and there's no clue why we're being medicated in the first place. Like, this is craziness. So I hope that you'll go on whatever platform you use, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and you'll begin to order and pre-order the book. It is for pre-order now, and then you'll be the first to receive it when it releases in May. So you're going to hear a lot about it. We're going to do webinars. I'm scheduled to do one with ACBC. With Fortis, speaking engagements. So you're going to hear a lot about it because this is the end to the secular therapeutic. So we'll pray that way. So back to our episode today, repentance. How do you discern? You train the muscle of discernment with the Word of God. When you understand people biblically through the Word of God, you understand that heart change leads to action and behavior change. Remember the book, Heart and Habits. Your heart changes, your habits change. So no heart change, no behavior change. If I'm not seeing anything different, I wonder about, is your heart genuinely repentant? So what are we expecting for? What are we looking for? This is the question that I want to finish in our last segment. How are you assessing and what are you looking? How do you know that you're being overly evaluative, maybe even skeptical? How do you know you're there? And what are some of the just practical guidelines to help you assess repentance in someone else? Well, first of all, I would say that you're looking for lasting fruit. Lasting fruit, meaning that this is something that's taking place over time. So I'll explain more of that here in a second, but just we're looking for fruit. And what should that fruit look like? Okay, number one, there is a sincerity and a change of heart, or we could technically say sincerity in a change of heart or from a change of heart. You pick the preposition you like best. When somebody is repentant, 2 Corinthians 7, they have an earnestness to change, an earnestness. You've seen it. You've seen somebody who were like, man, they were just kind of a bum. Honestly, they were lame. And then now God convicted them, changed their heart. And they kind of have this fire in their belly to change and do things differently. That is this change of heart, this sincerity, this earnestness. And it is one of those things that it's just very palpable. Like I don't need to do a research project on have you changed or not. Everybody looks at your life and we can all tell that you're a changed person. That is what I'm talking about. That level of commitment to, I want to be different. I don't want to be like that anymore. That's what we're looking for. So sincerity. What are you looking for in discerning repentance? Sincerity, change of heart, a demeanor. This overall perspective that's just changed. And maybe you would even want to call it humility or brokenness. I'm open to that. But I think sincerity helps communicate. What do you look for? Sincerity. Number two, you're looking for this person to be self-motivated with Christ-honoring actions. So this is always interesting to me in counseling. You know, we as biblical counselors, we always assign homework. That's part of the process. That's what we've been trained to do. It's how God brings about change. So we always give homework. And I'll tell people like, hey, I want you to memorize this verse and really work on it. And when someone's not repentant, they will come back and say, well, I mostly memorized that verse, but it's like 80% done. And I'm like, wow, you couldn't recall 11 words all week. Like, wow, I'm super impressed. When there's no fire, there's no sincerity, there's no fire in the belly, like that's the response. It's like, well, I don't have a great memory and my dad yelled at me and I just can't do it. It's like, okay, got it. Thank you. But when somebody is repentant, this is what will happen. They'll come in and they'll say, you know, I not only memorized that verse, but I also memorized one more verse or two more verses. I'm like, oh, yeah. I asked them to read one chapter and they went back and they reread it twice or three times. Or they read that one chapter and then they read another chapter as well. What are you seeing? Self-motivated, Christ-honoring actions. What does that show you? Change of heart, change of mind, repentance is taking place. So when someone comes back and says, yeah, you're like, I'm not a great memorizer, you know, and I'm really busy, obviously. I'm like, you can't memorize one Bible verse? in a whole week, you're not even close, then what does that make Greg Gifford think? You're not genuinely repentant. There's no change of mind. There's no change of heart. But when you come back and say, I did this and I went above and beyond, Zacchaeus style, I went above and beyond, then I say, awesome. That's what I want to see. So number one, you're looking for sincerity. Number two, you're looking for self-motivated actions, Christ-honoring actions. Number three, if you have been manipulated in the past, don't trust your own assessment of that person's repentance. Don't trust your own assessment. You have been manipulated by them. They have like love bombed and emotionally manipulated you. They've cried and appealed and the kids. And you're just thinking like, oh, I know. I'm so sorry. And you're like, wait a minute. Why am I apologizing for your sins? You're the one that did this. You're gaslighting me. You're turning this back on to me in some way. If you have been manipulated in the past, do not trust your assessment in and of yourself. The manipulator knows how to get you. Work with pastors and wise, experienced biblical counselors to assess the person that you're wondering if they're repentant. And guess what? If they are repentant, everybody will see it. A third neutral third party will see it. Your pastor will see it. Everybody will see it and everybody will be excited. But if you're having to lobby for this person saying they're repentant, I would just imagine you're wrong and that everybody else is right. And I am very, very skeptical of a person that's like, I see something no one else sees in them. You're like, no, you don't, man. You are lacking discernment and being naive. So do not trust your own assessment, especially if you've been manipulated by them in the past. Offer your assessment to your pastors or offer it to those that are wise biblical counselors involved in the situation, but do not lobby for them and do not be an advocate for their repentance. Don't do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. You're setting yourself up to be manipulated again. It will happen. I've seen it happen. It will continue to happen as long as you continue to trust your own assessment. So number one, sincerity. Number two, self-motive change. Number three, don't trust your own assessment. Number four, how do you assess? You're looking for time. You want to see them demonstrate the fruits of repentance over time. Easy principle. You're going to say, well, how long? Is that like 10 years, 2 lifetimes, a day, 2 hours? Easy principle. How long were they engaged in that sin? And for however long they were engaged in that sin, then that's how long you're thinking I'd like to see them demonstrate change. So if you're a wife who just found out that your husband was looking at pornography, I think you're open to forgiving him, but you're saying, babe, you've been entrenched in this for 6 months. What do I want to see? Change, lasting change for at least 6 months, and then I am going to believe that you're genuine this time. Whatever that long-term pattern of sin is, think like that's what I expect you to be demonstrating fruit over the length of. And if just because you in the moment are crying doesn't mean I believe you. In all fairness, I want to believe you, I'm open to believing you, but you need to demonstrate that. Guys, if heart change has really taken place, then the actions will follow and they will follow over time. When a person is genuinely repentant, they will think something like, I don't care what you think, I'm gonna do what honors the Lord and I'll do it as long as it takes. Oh yeah, that's what we wanna hear. We're cooking with gas. I don't care what you think, I'm gonna do the right thing before the Lord. It's like, boom. But if someone's saying, well, how long is this gonna last? Like, how long are you going to hold me to account for this? It's like, nope, no, get out of here. We're not dealing with that because that's indicating that you don't have a heart that actually changed. Sincerity, self-motivated actions. You're not trusting your own assessment. You're giving this time. And then if restoration has become an option, just know that when the sin is bad enough, that's going to take a while. It's going to take a while for us to restore the equity of our relationship, but we're open to doing that. So here is the beautiful thing, guys. When you are discerning about repentance and someone genuinely repents, your relationship with them is reconciled. Think of reconciled as not just back to where we were, but we're stronger than our relationship before. I forgave you, you repented, and I am like so impressed by how you handled yourself in repentance. I'm drawn to you in deeper friendship. Think of the beauty of that. We're not estranged and cutting off relationships. We're seeing this person is, they have shown their integrity in humility. So it's a joy to be a part of relationships that have gone through this. They're on the other side and they can say, look, I trust them even more now because of how they repented when they were wrong. So I got to stop for today. I'm very open to your questions on this. Many of you will have questions about the controlling, manipulative person, and I will do future episodes on those. But let me do this. Let me pray for us and let's be done for today. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to have your word to guide us. Some of us can be overly charitable at times and others can be skeptical. Lord, help us to find that balance of being discerning, being open to people changing and rejoicing when they do. Lord, we love you. You do that for us. Lord, you give us the opportunity to change. You give us the grace to change and you rejoice when we do. And so we're thankful for that. So ask for blessings on our day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.